ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 30 टाइटल्ड द डिसअपीयरेंस ऑफ द यदु डायनेस्टी टेक्स्ट नंबर 39 श्री भगवान उवाच मा भैर्जरे त्वमुत्तिष्ठ काम एष कृतो हिमे याहि त्वं मत् अनुज्ञातः स्वर्गं सुकृतिनां पदम् श्री भगवान उवाच द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड मा भय डू नॉट फियर जरे ओ जरा त्वम यू उत्तिष्ठ प्लीज गेट अप काम द डिजायर एषः दिस कृतः डन He, indeed, me, my, yahi, go, tvam, you, madanugyataha, given permission by me, swargam, to the spiritual world, sukritinam, of the pious, payat padam, the abode. So translation, The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Jara, do not fear, please get up. What has been done is actually my own desire. With my permission, go now to the abode of the pious, the spiritual world. So there is no purport, and many of the verses following have not purport. So, shall we go reading or... Speak on this. How is it? Any idea? More reading?
Read and speak on.
Let's see how it goes. Okay. I'll speak on this. So the text is Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Mabhayat Jaretvam Uttishtha Kama Esha Kritohime Yahitvam Madanugyata Sorgam Sukritinam Padam The Supreme Personality of God has said, My dear Jara, do not fear. Please get up. What has been done is actually by my own desire. With my permission, go now to the abode of the pious, the spiritual world. Om Ajnanati Virantasya, Jnananjana Shalakhaya, Chakshur Unmilitam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, here, we have the Maushala Leela of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So Maushala Leela is something in which the Supreme Lord is actually leaving this material world. In one sense, the Supreme Lord has never entered the material world. He has never touched the material world because he is always covered with his internal potency. So apparently he is in the material world, still he is not, because he is aloof, always from the material energy. Even though Krishna is avatari, the source of all incarnations, since he appears in the material world, even though he doesn't touch the material world, and by his mercy, the people in the material world can perceive the Supreme Lord, So, he is also known as avatar or incarnation. Because when the Supreme Lord comes to the material world to perform his pastimes, he is also known as avatar. So, Krishna is simultaneously avatar as well as avatari. Since he appears in the material world, he is avatar. And since he is the source of all incarnations, he is avatari. And in his pastimes, there is a pastime where he takes birth. There are so many auspicious signs, just like rumbling of the cloud. the pious living entities like Brahmanas, their activities become more auspicious by the appearance of the Supreme Lord. Even the whole environment becomes auspicious by the appearance of the Supreme Lord. And all the living entities become happy because the Supreme Lord has descended to the material world. Now that is the appearance of the Supreme Lord. And devotees become ecstatic to hear about Krishna's appearance. And he performed his wonderful pastimes, divided into three. First pastime in Vrindavan, then in Mathura, and then in Dwaraka. So in the spiritual world, the Lord's pastimes are simultaneously occurring in three different realms of the spiritual world. That is Golok Vrindavan, Mathura, as well as Dwaraka. However, when it is coming to the material world, it happens chronologically. In one sense, first in Vrindavan, Vrajabhumi, then in Mathura, and finally in Dwaraka. So here, we are coming to the end of Krishna's pastimes. And since the Lord is disappearing from this world, the devotees are extremely sad. As we can see in the previous chapter, Uddhava is departing from Lord Krishna. And if we see the farewell scene, how Krishna actually asked Uddhava to leave, and now you go to Badrikashram and instruct the sages who couldn't get darshan of Lord Krishna. You instruct them regarding the devotional service. Instruct them regarding the appearance of Krishna himself. So when it was time for Uddhava to leave, Uddhava became completely devastated. He understood the Lord is going to leave, and he also wanted to leave this pastime. He wanted to leave. He wanted to go along with the Supreme Lord. However, he couldn't, because he was instructed by the Supreme Lord himself to do service on his behalf. That was to preach Krishna consciousness. On his way, he met Vidura, Mahatma Vidura. He talked about the Supreme Lord to Vidura. He shared the pastimes of Lord Krishna to Vidura. And then he went to Badrikashram. So in the departing scene, Uddhava was completely devastated. He was crying. He was touching his feet. He was taking his shoes. Like that, it was very, very emotional. And this emotion is completely spiritual. And now, that pastime is past, and now Krishna, he himself is going to leave from this world. And the only person near at this point is Jara. As we heard yesterday, Jara was none other than Bhrigumuni. Bhrigumuni, apparently he committed an offense by kicking the chest of the Lord. So, it was the pastime where Bhrigumuni was testing, as he was sent by different sages, who is the Supreme? Is it Brahma, Vishnu, or Lord Shiva? And in one place he did the mental offense, and in the other place he did the physical offense. Mental, words, and physical. The physical offense, which is the most greatest, was done to Lord Vishnu. However, he forgave. Rather, he placed himself on a position where he said, my heart is like hard. It's like a hard rock. So, your feet must have hurt by kicking on my chest. So, from this, Bhrigumuni understood who is the Supreme, and he shared this news to other sages. And now, the same Bhrigumuni, in this pastime, he is appearing as Jara, the hunter. And here, he has shot the arrow, and it has hit the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And it is mentioned that actually the arrow didn't hit, or it didn't actually pierce through the transcendental body of the Supreme Lord, because his body is completely spiritual. It is Sachidananda Vigraha. His lotus feet is also Sachidananda Vigraha. So it is not possible for a material arrow to pierce and to have blood, the so-called blood, to flow from his lotus feet. So this is just a pastime enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself to, on one side, he wanted to wind up his pastime and he wanted to go to his spiritual abode along with his associates. So he enacted the pastime where all the members of the Yadu dynasty, they drank liquor and they started fighting to each other. and they started killing each other. Because there was no one who is more powerful than the members of the Yadu dynasty at that time. So how is it possible that somebody else could come and annihilate the whole Yadu dynasty? It's not possible. So at that time, the Lord arranged and they fought themselves and they left the world. Now, it was time for Lord Krishna himself to leave the world. And now he enacted this pastime where Jara shot the arrow. So here it is Krishna, the Lord himself says, it is in actuality, it is by my own desire. So we had to understand, everything in the material world, including the creation, maintenance and destruction, it is done by a tiny fraction of Krishna's energy. Krishna says, Vishtabhyam idam krishnam ekam shena sito jagat. So the whole material creation, maintenance and destruction is done by only a tiny fraction of Krishna's energy. So the whole universal creation, which is massive, that is very wonderful, that is only happening by Krishna's desire and only a fraction of Krishna's energy. Now, if we consider the creation of living entities, that is also happening by a tiny amount of Krishna's energy. And if we consider whatever is happening, everything is happening by the sanction of the Supreme Lord. We know, Upadrishta Anumandascha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaram. Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna is Upadrishta, he is the witness. He is the Bhokta, he is the enjoyer. He is the Bharta, he is the Lord. He is the Maheshwaram and he is the Anumanta, he is the sanctioner. So whatever happens in this world, whether good or bad, small or big, it is only happening by the desire, by the mercy, by the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Then how is it possible that his appearance and now his disappearance could happen without his sanction by any material arrangement? It is impossible. It has to be only by his own sweet will. So just like Krishna's appearance was by his sweet will, in the same way, his disappearance is also by his own desire. So in one sense, Jara doesn't have to feel so offended by his action. However, him being Bhrugumuni in his previous life, and in one sense he had that attitude, he understood that he is the Supreme Lord, that too in the four-handed form. So he actually was quite remorseful and he was felt very, very sad for his action. So he's in the previous verse he's telling, Lord Shiva, even Lord Brahma, even many great demigods, they can't understand Lord Krishna. So what can I speak about myself, who is a sinful birth, who is of a sinful birth, because he's a hunter in this birth. Now the Lord is saying, okay, he has actually forgiven, because he said, okay, it is by my own desire the whole thing happened. Now, by the mercy of the Lord, this is the last birth of Jara. So the Lord is saying, by my permission, go now to the abode of the pious, the spiritual world. So this is the last birth. He is getting the opportunity to go to back home, back to Godhead. So Jara is very fortunate because he is getting the personal association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is able to play a part in the Leela of Krishna, even though it's a sad situation. Even though it is devastating for his devotees to know, still, he is playing his part and he is actually going to the spiritual world. Now, in the next verse, Ityadishto Bhagavata Krishnenecha Sharirina Tri Parikramya Tam Natva Vimanena Divam Yayo. So, it is very interesting. So, instructed by the Supreme Lord Krishna, who assumes his transcendental body by his own will, the hunter circumambulated the Lord three times and bowed down to him. Then the hunter departed in an airplane that had appeared just to carry him to the spiritual sky. So, as the Lord said, immediately a Viman came and Jara circumambulated the Lord three times. He went to the spiritual abode. Daryuka Krishna Padavi Anvichan Adhigamayatvam Vayam Tulakshi Modam Akhya Abhimukham Yayo. At that time, Daryuka was searching for his master Krishna. As he neared the place where the Lord was sitting, he perceived the aroma of tulsi flowers in the breeze and went to its direction. Okay, so this is an interesting way of understanding where is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dwarika, he is the personal servant of Krishna. He is a chariot driver of Lord Krishna. He has association, he has relationship with Krishna in the dasya form, in the servitorship. And Dwarika is coming, so we can see he is also performing his final pastime and he is going to perform his final service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he appeared and he saw Lord Krishna, or he is going to see Lord Krishna, and he is actually detecting where is Lord Krishna by the aroma of tulsi flower, tulsi leaves. So wherever the Lord is there, there is tulsi leaves which is decorating the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the aroma is so wonderful that the devotees are captivated by that aroma. And in fact, even those who are non-devotees, even they are captivated by the aroma of tulsi leaves. As we can see regarding the Kumaras. When the Kumaras went to Vaikuntha, they actually smelled the tulsi leaves. Tasya Aravinda Nanasya Padaravinda Kinjalpa Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu Andargata So Nivasena Chakaratesham Sankshopanam Akshara Jushamapi Chitatano. So when these Kumaras, when they went to the spiritual abode, they were impersonalists. However, when the smell of the tulsi leaves entered the nostrils of the Kumaras, and when it touched the heart of them, there was a change in their perception. They became devotees just with the smell, just with the association in the form of the smell of tulsi, which is decorating the lotus feet of Krishna. Their consciousness was completely transformed from impersonal consciousness to love for Krishna. So that is the power of tulsi. So here we can see the Dwarika is detecting the presence of the Supreme Lord by the smell of tulsi. And then he is saying, Tam tatra tikma dipir ayusubir vritam hi ashutha moola krite ketanam pati sneha plutam nipatata padayo ratham avapita sa babhasha lochana. So Dwarika is saying, upon seeing Lord Krishna resting at the foot of a banyan tree, surrounded by his shining weapons, Dwarika could not control the affection he felt in his heart. His eyes filled with tears as he rushed down from the chariot and fell at the Lord's feet. So here it's a very emotional, very intense affair between Dwarika and Lord Krishna. Because the Lord is going to depart and he is going to meet the Supreme Lord for the final time. So he saw Lord Krishna under a banyan tree sitting and along with his weapons. And now Dwarika is actually felt a lot of affection for the Supreme Lord, and he couldn't even control the affection. And his eyes filled with tears, he rushed down from the chariot and fell at the Lord's lotus feet. And there is a reason why now Dwarika is coming and meeting the Supreme Lord. So we will see what it is. It's very interesting. Next two verses is very important. Abhashyattam charanambujam prabho drishtim pranashta tamasi pravishta vishona jare nalapha nasha shantim yatha nishyam udupe pranashte. Dwarika said, just as on a moonless night people are merged into darkness and cannot find their way, now that I have lost sight of your lotus feet, my lord, I have lost my vision and am wandering blindly in darkness. I cannot tell my direction, nor can I find any peace. This verse is actually very important and it is very significant for us. The reason is, there are two reasons. One, the prayer itself is significant. Second, how Dwarika is approaching the Supreme Lord. So it is mentioned very clearly, when we approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or when we approach great personalities, it is mentioned one can actually start with prayers. So this is the correct procedure in approaching the Supreme Lord. Even if you are going in front of the deities, if you are going in front of Srila Prabhupada, one has to approach with prayers before talking anything, even a great person. One has to first offer some prayers. So we can see even in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Arjun is approaching Krishna, or when Uttara is requesting the Supreme Lord for his help, initially she is glorifying Krishna. So initial verses are praying to the Supreme Lord. So this is the right procedure in approaching the Supreme Lord. In the same way here, Dwarika, he is also actually glorifying the Supreme Lord. Just as on a moonless night, people are merged into darkness and cannot find their way. So he is comparing himself to a person who is blind, who can't see anything during the dark night, because of he is not getting the vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now that I have lost sight of your lotus feet, my Lord, I have lost my vision and am wandering blindly in darkness. I cannot tell my direction, nor can I find any peace. So this is the prime, this is the situation of all the living entities in the material world. We have lost our vision completely. People are doing things which are destroying themselves, their own existence, their material as well as spiritual existence is completely destroyed by their actions. So this is the stage of material existence, especially in Kali Yuga. And only by association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his devotees, by his instructions, one can make any progress towards him. Otherwise it is impossible. So here Dwarika is getting a direct opportunity to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. However, we have the same options through the instructions imparted by the Supreme Lord in the form of Bhagavad Gita. So even after the departure of Lord Krishna, as we can see in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yudhishthira Maharaj started seeing all the different omens, bad omens, which is showing that the Supreme Lord must have left this material world. At that point, Arjun returned from Dwarika and he actually passed on the message that indeed the Lord has departed from the material world. And he was defeated by just cowherd boys who were powerless. They could defeat very easily Arjun, who was carrying Gandiva and who defeated so many great Maharathis in battle of Kurukshetra. And in one sense, Arjun was bewildered seeing his plight, that he couldn't even protect the dear wives of Lord Krishna. That point, Arjuna says, he took shelter of instructions imparted by Lord Krishna himself in battlefield of Kurukshetra in the form of Bhagavad Gita. So it is mentioned, just by remembering the instructions given by Lord Krishna to Arjun, he actually became peaceful and he actually got over all the suffering and he actually got over illusion. And in the next verse it is mentioned that even though it is mentioned that he actually got over the illusion, we shouldn't mistake that the eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna, was under illusion at any circumstance. No, not in the battle of Kurukshetra, nor after the departure of Lord Krishna. So it was only a pastime sake to instruct the conditioned souls how to associate with Krishna through his instructions. So even after the departure of Krishna, Arjuna is taking shelter of Krishna's instructions. So in the same way, we also had to take shelter of Krishna's instructions through the association of devotees. So we are definitely in the blindness, we are blind because we never had any opportunity to associate with devotees unless and until we came to Krishna consciousness. So we pray, even beginning of the class, Ajnana Timirantasya. It's exactly the same thing, Ajnana Timirantasya. We are blind, Timira is actually a disease for the eyes that makes one blind. So it is a Timira, it is a disease because of again, because of ignorance, because of forgetfulness of Krishna. So now, Dwarika, even though he is an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord in servitorship in Dasaras, he is playing part of a person who has lost vision because of ignorance of material existence, and he is approaching the Supreme Lord. And he is fortunate to directly associate with the Supreme Lord, and in the few verses we will see what service he has to do on behalf of Krishna. So I cannot tell my direction, nor can I find any peace, because he is telling he doesn't have the direct vision of Supreme Lord. And he is telling, okay, now because he has lost the your vision of your lotus feet. So this is the stage. So someone can continue in next class. What is the service that Dwarika has to do to further on behalf of Krishna? So here we stop and see if there are any comment or questions. Yes, bro.
Just a small point. In Sanskrit, it is Swargam.
Yeah.
And translation is future word.
Yeah.
They are not synonyms. So in the end, the example is Bhagavatam, the Swargam.
Okay. The point we had to understand here is one word can have multiple meanings, and according to the context, the meaning can vary. That is one part we had to understand. Then, second, how can we understand what is the right meaning of a certain word? Say, if you pick some verses from Bhagavad Gita, the word Atma is used in having many, many meanings. Uddharet Atmanatmanam, Atmanyeva Avashishyatet, Atmanyeva hi Atmano, Bandhuratmeva Ripuratmana. Bandhuratma Atmanastasya, Atmanyeva Atmanajita, Anatmanasya Shatrute, Patet Atmeva Shatruvat, right? So, you know, so how many Atmas are there in that verse? So, but when we pick even the word Atma, those who knows, okay, we may not know, we are confused. But those who knows, like the Acharyas, they can exactly understand what is the meaning of each word according to the context and what is the meaning of the verse. So here, this purport and translation, it is based on commentaries of various Acharyas. So I am sure some Acharya has explained very clearly, Swargam means it is the spiritual abode, it's the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's how the Swargam is translated as the spiritual world.
Also, because Lord is sending the devotee, he has to be put to spiritual.
Yeah, that is a, yeah, if we consider logical reasons, if we consider somebody who has got a personal association of the Supreme Lord, and Krishna has no reason to send him to the so-called Swargaloka, which is the place of, again, birth and death. So that is a, of course, obvious logical reason to find. There is no reason for the Lord to send. And in fact, the Lord is very merciful. So, and he has actually forgiven the offense of Jara. He has forgiven. So it's amazing. The Lord has forgiven. And another thing, he has forgiven. There is another reason for forgiving his offense, because he is telling it is by my own desire. So actually, in one sense, Jara hasn't committed offense or by his own will, but there was a direct influence by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, why should Krishna punish such a person? Because sending to Swargalok, the abode of the heavenly abode, in itself is a punishment. Yeah. So Krishna doesn't want to punish; rather, he wants to give something which is eternal. So we can see logically that is another argument.
If you give spiritual word Putana, why won't he give it to
Jara? Yes, he gave to Putana, yeah, and so many others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Why is, I have a few questions.
Yes, sure.
Why is Krishna saying sanctuary?
Yeah.
So why does the nation sin? And also,
So, why Krishna sanctions bad things, right? For sinful activities? It's a good question. On one level, we have to understand the relationship between us, the living entities, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We say the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So when we use the term part and parcel, it implies two things. One, it is the individuality is stressed. When you say part, okay, especially parcel, the individuality is stressed. Second, or individuality meaning difference, a separate existence in one sense from the Supreme Lord. And on the other side, there is equality in terms of quality. So the both are stressed when we use the term part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, being a part and parcel, being an individual means there is independence to a certain degree. So Krishna is Swarat, as Srimad Bhagavatam, first verse, first line itself says. He is Swarat. He is fully independent. So nothing is, you know, he can do whatever he wants. So he has that full independence. And the individual part and parcels have given a minute independence. Why? Because we are qualitatively same with the Supreme Lord. So there has to be some amount of independence. Now, second reason why do we have that slight independence? Because with independence comes voluntary choice. If there is a force, there is no choice. If there is a force to do something means there is no choice. So choice means there is some independence, at least to a minor degree. There has to be, then there is choice. So when the Lord, the ultimate relationship of the living entities to the Supreme Lord is of that of love, which is coming from the heart. And if we have to have that love, then there has to be that slight independence from which one can choose Krishna instead of the material energy. So even now, we have the choice of either choosing Krishna or choosing the material energy. So if we take off that choice, then there is no possibility of loving Krishna voluntarily. It becomes forceful. So Krishna, being the sanctioner, even a living entity who is absorbed in the material consciousness, he is merciful that he is allowing him to act in a way which he wants to. Because the whole purpose of material existence is that one wants to act independent of Krishna, and he wants that minute independence. That's what the living entity is, that's what we ask for. So Krishna has given that. And now how to use that independence, it is up to us. And Krishna doesn't interfere that small amount of independence, and so he sanctions. So one time Srila Prabhupada was asked this question, so why then Krishna doesn't take away that independence? So Prabhupada gave an interesting, you know, a funny answer. It was a morning walk that the time. Many people used to ask many questions, and the Prabhupada used to give many nice answers. Prabhupada said, once he has given, he doesn't take it back. He's not a rascal like you. So that was the answer given by Prabhupada. So that minute independence. So that's the reason Krishna is actually sanctioning, because we want to do it, and Krishna is sanctioning because we want it. It's not his fault. We want it. We want to exercise our freedom. We want it. And in Kali Yuga, we want to do more sinful activities. So there is Kali Yuga for us. So it is because of us. Ultimately, blame comes to us. And that is the difficult part for us to accept. But that's a fact. Okay. Thank you very much. Granth Shastri Mad Bhagavatam Ki.